Good morning.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. If you're waking up to the sound of the Saturday morning entertainment show, you're in the right place, and a good place to be at that. I'm going to be your host this morning. This is Cardinal Mills, and I'm in place for Ivor, your regular host. I'm in place for Ivor, regular host, who is on a different assignment this morning. So hopefully, like I always say, I hope I can fill the big shoes of the little man. I'm going to do my best. Now, you know, this morning we start out with the inspirational hour. Then we're going to have to talk about sports. We're going to give you some music along the way. We'll have some conversation. And, you know, there and there, I'll bring you my usual commentary. So if you are with us, then, you know, we're going to do our best to bring you the great thrill from the Saturday morning entertainment show that we always hope to give you with. We know that the inspirational portion, the fans and special fans always look forward to some, what is called gospel music. So I'll bring you some of that as well. I'm not too much into the religious stuff, as you would all know by now. But hey, like I say, this is for the fans. A changing host, and they say change is good. And they tell us all kind of to remind us that change is good. Variety is the spice of life. But then again, you can't have too much spice, and it's got to change the flavor of the food. So I'm not going to be changing too much, just a little bit different for your entertainment as well. Let me start off with
I can't even walk.
I'm sure that the people who are at the point of worship this morning would like to acknowledge the superior authority and can't even walk without you holding my hand. That's the way of giving praise. Now I'm going to introduce you to one of my all-time favorites, and maybe not even introduce, but share it with you this morning. One of my all-time favorites when it comes to inspiration. I got this little piece when I was yet a youngster, and it has always resonated with me. Hopefully, as I shared with you, it would have the same transforming impact, you know. And you know, transformation takes place over a period of time. But just let me share this little piece with you. Listen closely.
Go placidly amid the noise and haste. And remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself.
You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here, and whether or not it is clear to you,
enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career. However humble, it is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself. Especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love. For in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is as perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune. But do not distress yourself with imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself.
You are a child
of the universe. No less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive Him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be careful. Strive to be happy.
You are a child of the universe. You are a child.
You know, from the moment I got the inspiration of that, from that, that piece, it has always been my desire to achieve the goals or the objectives that it proposes. And particularly, I like to impress upon us this morning to remind ourselves that we are children of the universe. And it's something that I always try to say, that sometimes people seem confounded when I say it. You are a child of the universe. You're not a product. You're not a social product. You weren't created by society. You are creation. You are not a product of society. You are a creation of the universe, the power that guides the universe. So remind yourself of that each time. When you get in touch with people and as you relate and interact with people, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, bear that in mind. Let me let you try that for things. Okay. What the whisper?
Give me faith, oh Jah, I pray, oh Lord. Faith another day.
Thank you.
myself.
Yeah, that was Luciano singing one of our favorites in the gospel area, doing it to the reggae tune. I'm going to give you a little bit different rhythm and era and genre right now. But it's a favorite. It has become a favorite over the short period of time that I've known it. Right?
When you're up on the mountain, you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. You're never alone, for the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, the talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley, trials and temptations, that's where you'll
God in the night, the God of
Thank you.
grandparents or those who come before it or ancestors without there being a cause for that conflict except our own deficiencies. And I like this one for that inspiration. So let's listen to Mike Mechanics, Mike Rutherford out of the UK, The Living Years.
frustrations come beating on your door. I know that I'm a prisoner to all my father held so dear. I know that I'm a hostage to all his hopes and fears. I just wish I could have told him in the living years. Oh, crumpled bits of paper filled with imperfect thoughts. Still the conversations, I'm afraid that's all we've got. You say you just don't see it. He says it's perfect sense. You just can't get agreement in this pretense. We all talk a different language, talking in defense.
The Mechanics in his commentary by music and of the intergenerational account. But they are wonderful people. And Ram's mother is going to, I'm going to
pay tribute to those wonderful people out there, to Gramps Morgan. Good morning, Cotton. I understand it's with us at this time. Hope you are going to enjoy this show every time. Okay, let's hear from Morgan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. If you give a little more than you take, and if you try to fix more than you break, if you're the kind who takes the time to help a stranger in the rain, there's a place for people like you. If you stand up for those down on their knees and lend a voice to those who cannot speak, if you shine a little light, give sight to the ones who've lost their way, there's a place for people like you. I've heard up there the streets are made of gold, and when you get there, there's a hand to hold. I believe when your day's down here through, there's a place up there for people like you. If you walk around with your heart on your sleeves, and if you're trying to be the change you wanna see, if you lay down your life for love so someone could be saved, there's a place for people like you. Made of gold, and when you get there, there's a hand to hold. I believe when your day's down here through, there's a place up there for people like you.
Yeah.
that creep over my soul. Things that creep over my soul.
When troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders.
that brings us to the end of the inspirational poem. The inspiration of Epsom, and we hope that you enjoyed what we had to offer. Remember, bear in mind that I'm just trying to fill the big shoes of the little man. Or you take it from 7 to 1 and you want to inquire about whether the little man wears oversized shoes, you can do that too. Either way, I don't mind. I'm just telling you, I'm filling the big shoes of the little man. Do it to the best of my ability. If they don't fit, I drag them. Well, now we're going to talk a little bit about sports. What's happening down under in Australia? All the action is in Australia. It's Indies is rest down there in Australia. And I'm wondering, then I'm going to come in and tell us about whether or not we should go on to rally. Some of us had gotten to the point where we're tired of rallying and not getting any results. But based on what's happening down under, Lana might be able to tell us whether or not we should continue rally. Then we'll talk about
begging.
that was David Rudder, heading at the rally around the West Indies. But here's David. He's going to tell us whether we should continue the rally. David, come on in.
Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning, Cardinal. First, let me say good morning to the ladies, wherever they are. Good morning, Lynette, Marquise, Barbara, Donna, and all the ladies. The world included my wife, Janet. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Good night. Also, good morning to you again, Karna, Leon, Tyson, Benny, over there in his pajama. And gentlemen, wherever they are, good morning. Good afternoon, good night. First, let me say, Cardinal, you know, last week, Ivor had hardly rolled into town, man, and we were freezing, so we had to ship them out back as soon as possible. As fast as they come in, we had to ship them out, you know, because we were freezing around here. So once we get them out of town, weather improves. So it's one of, you know, we got to secure our borders better so they don't sneak back in, you know.
But, I mean, one was bad enough. You have to deal with two.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you, man. I mean, we had to be with both of them, so it was, the weather was, you know, very, very bad. But let me start off here, Cardinal, to say, this week in the Premier League, Barclays Premier League, there'll be no game this weekend. Game will resume on Tuesday with four matches. You have Fulham versus Arsenal at 2:30, 2:45 is Luton Town versus Brighton. Fulham versus Everton, and I might have, at 2:30 is Arsenal versus Nottingham Forest. So. And Brighton versus Wolves. So there will be three games. Let me back up. There will be three games on Tuesday at 2:30, Nottingham Forest versus Arsenal, and then at 2:45, Luton Town versus Brighton, and then Fulham versus Everton. So as to the Barclays Premier League takes a break this weekend. We'll now go on to the NFL. And as you know, Cardinal, we're getting down to the business end of things right now. And conference championship week tomorrow at 3 p.m. We have Chiefs versus Ravens. And at the 49ers will play Lions at 6:30. And as you know, the Miami Mullets, the Miami Dolphin, I should say, got knocked out there. So it's the business end of the NFL this week to see who will play in the Super Bowl. So it's going to be a ding-dong battle here, Chiefs and Ravens, and Lions and 49ers. We go to the NBA, and we had some games that was played yesterday. Yesterday, the Suns and Pacers. Pacers 133, Suns 131. We had another high scoring game, Mavericks and Hawks. The Mavericks coming out on top, 148-143. Rockets blow away the Hornets, 138-104. And Clippers beat up on the Raptors 127-107. Thunder defeated the Pelicans 107-83. Magic slipped by the Grizzlies, slipped by the Magics by one, 107-106. Cavaliers by 12 over the Bucks, 112-110. And Blazers and Spurs. Spurs 116, Blazers 100. So today's game on starting at 12:30. We have Wizards versus Pistons, and at 3 p.m. East versus the Knicks, and the Beast is on like a 4-game losing streak. So they're very, very cold right now. They're not putting out any heat. And at 5:30, then the Sixers versus Nuggets, and at 6 p.m., Rockets versus the Nets, Jazz versus Hornets at 7, Clippers Celtics at 8, you have Pelican versus the Bucks, 8:30 Lakers versus the Warriors, and and at 9, you have Mavericks versus the Kings. Well, tomorrow, starting at 2 p.m., Thunders versus Pistons, 3:30, Grizzly versus Pacers, at 6 p.m., Raptors versus the Hawks, Suns versus the Magics, and at 9 is Bulls and Trailblazers. So that's what's happening in the NBA. But before we go on, we're gonna introduce cricket. But I would like to say last week was Lawrence George Yazaro's 75th birthday, and also the 15th year of him making, if my memory serves me correct, I think he had made 100 on his debut and a double century and 100. So there was a celebration last week of that event. As you know, the Lawrence Rowe Foundation, which normally is held every year, that fund kids here in the U.S. going to school and in Jamaica. And at some point, it's also fund, a West Indian cricketer who may have fallen hard times. They had a meet and greet on Friday, and then on Saturday, 11-1, they had past legends, Joel Garner, Sir Andy Roberts, Sylvie Richards, Hollis King, Lawrence himself was there, Courtney Walsh, and the West Indies, the Jamaican sensation sprinter, Ewan Blake was also in attendance. So they have a number of other functions in the past. The ICC World Cup gentleman there, Chris Darren, was the guest speaker there. Ivor could give us some more information on that speech there. And they had a big shindig on Saturday night at the Wyndham Hotel out there in Coconut Creek. And on Sunday, they had two friendly games that was played. So overall, I would say the weekend was a success from my point of view, or where I saw it there, because I was sort of busy being one of the scorers. So I'd like to thank all on behalf of the Lawrence Hope Foundation. I would like to say thanks to all the people who volunteered their time here to make that event possible. So, you know, again, big up to the Lawrence Hope Foundation. Now we'll go on to the what's happening over there in the ICC tournament, West Indies versus Australia. And I must say, I think for their second innings, they did not perform that well. I thought they would have put up a little bit more fight than what they did in the second inning. But I must say, they at least stretched this game and they still didn't make a fighting chance, because Australia needed another 156 runs to win. So once we come out and can get some inroads there, it will be game on. So I'll go down the scorecard of what took place so far. West Indies batted first. After winning the toss, they made 311 with the rear guard action from Joshua De Silva, 79. Kavim Arch, 71. 50 to Kevin Sinclair. 32 to Alzari Joseph. And 21 apiece to Tidnarine Chandrapal and Kirk McKenzie. And I must say, for Kirk McKenzie, this gentleman looks the part, but keeps giving his wicket away. And I would love to see if, you know, I know Brian Lara is down there, you know, to talk to this gentleman, so he bats a little bit more responsible. He will go a far way. You know, Ian Atanase are some of the finds that we see, some of the sparks, but they're not carrying or continuing in the vein that they. And Michelle Stark was the pick of the bowler. He bowled some 24 overs, three maidens, 82 runs, and he got four wickets. Josh Hazelwood and Nathan Lyon each pick up two wickets, with Hazelwood getting 2 for 38 and Lyon 2 for 81. In Australia batted, they made 289 for 9 declare. And as someone say, they probably don't want to get bowled out by the West Indies. So they declared. So Usman Khawaja, top scorer, 75, 65 to Alex Carey. And this gentleman, 65, came from some 41 balls. He had 9, 4, and a 6. And that's where I think that game got away from us. We had this gentleman scoring boundary after boundary after boundary. Also, 64 not out to the captain, Pat Cummins, with some 26 extras in that game. And Michelle Starks getting 21. So, comparing to the, you know what, 308, there was only 8 extras bowled. And when we bowled to Australia, we contributed 26 extras. 289 for 9. Alzari Joseph getting 4 for 88. 84 from 14 overs. And tomorrow is getting 3 for 47 from 11. When West Indies batted, as I said, I fell asleep last night. There was 66 for 2. I think when I went to sleep, saying we could put up a very big total, but we could, we only muster 193 in that game with 41 to Kirk McKenzie, 35 to Atanase, 33 to Graves, 29 to Hodge. So we sort of lost our way here again. We're in a good position, and if we put up anything over 300, we would be in this game. But we didn't. We only moved to 199. Bowling for Australia, Lyon and Hazelwood each got 3 wickets apiece. Hazelwood got 3 for 23 from 14 over, which includes 5 maidens. And Lyon getting 3 for 42 from 22 over, which includes 6 maidens. They are now 60 for 2 in their second inning. So they need 156 with 8 wickets in hand. As I said, if we can get in there and get some early wickets, it will be game on. Now we have England and India playing down there, and that's a game that England is only leading India by 126 runs in their second inning after making 246. England made 246 in their first inning with 70 going to Ben Stokes, 37 to Johnny Bairstow, 35 to Ben Duckett, 29 to Joe Root, 23 to Sam Hartley, and 20 to Zach Crawley, 246 all out. They were all out in some 64.3 overs. The 3 wickets apiece go into Ravindra Jadeja and Ashwin. So Ashwin getting 3 for 68 from 21 overs, including a maiden. Jadeja getting 3 for 88 from 18 overs with 4 maidens. There's 2 wickets apiece to Bumrah and Patel, Akshar Patel. Bumrah getting 2 for 28 and Patel getting 2 for 33. When India batted, they made 436, and that's massive, with 87 to Jadeja, 86 to Rahul, 80 Jaiswal, 44 to Akshar Patel, 41 to Shikhar Bharat, 35 to Shirish Iyer, 24 to Rohit Sharma, 23 to Shubman Gill, 436. Joe Root was the pick of the bowler. He got 4 for 79 from some 29 overs and 5 maidens. There's 2 wickets apiece to Tom Hartley, who made a century, and Rahman Ahmed, who made another century. So Ahmed getting 2 for 105 from 24 overs, and Hartley getting 2 for 131 from some 25 overs. England, in their second inning, Ali Pope is 148 not out, with 47 going to Duckett, 34 to Ben Folks, and 31 to Zach Crawley, It's on 22X so far. 316 for 6. Let's say that's a third day. Two days to go in that. Let's see where this goes. If England can stretch that lead to over 300, then it should be game on. West Indies is also playing down there in the under 19 World Cup. They win one game and lost one game. I think they should have been playing this morning. I'm looking to see if I can find some scores in that game. But I know they. I think they should have been playing this morning, but I'm not seeing it here on my my score sheet here. What's happening down there in the World Cup, on the 19 World Cup, Zimbabwe. So I said they won one, they lost one. So let's hope we can improve and move on to better things in under 19. But I think that's where our cricketers are coming from. Now we'll go to the local cricket, what's happening here locally. So we're down in the South Florida Premier League tomorrow. Tufan will play Tropics International at Miramar Regional Park 9 North. That starts at 9 a.m. At Central Broad Regional Park, also at 9, is Palm Beach Gladiators versus Miami Chargers. Strikers versus Challengers at Miramar Regional Park South, 10 o'clock at Sports Park, the Lauderdale Sports Park. Is Ambassador versus South India Tuskers at Mack Ground, the BCC Ignite versus PBE at John Prince, South Florida Sunriser versus PCC Googlies, Myrtle Grove versus Underdog at Brand Piccolo Park North. Tradewind Park, you have Atlantic versus St. Lucie at 2:30 at Miramar Regional Park South. Is St. Beth versus Palm Beach Hurricane, also at 2:30 at Central Broad Regional Park 1 and 2. Tritons versus Titans, and all at 2:30 at Miramar Regional Park North, it's Florida Cricket Academy versus Eagles. So that's what's happening there in local competition. As you know, the World Cup, ICC World Cup, will host here in South Florida, Texas, and New York in June. And we're looking forward to a number of other events. I know that Lawrence Road friendly game was the last game to be played in the park for the year. They are relaying that pitch. So just would like to say we're looking forward to a lot of cricket after the World Cup inside Central Broad Regional Park. So, Cardinal, that's going to be it for me for what's happening internationally and locally. Wishing everyone all the best and have a wonderful rest of the day.
Okay, thank you, David. And just an update on what's going on with also Down Under. And I should say, last night, Sabalenka defeated Sheng to become the Australian Open champion for this year. She's repeating a champion, defending a championship. And so we look forward to the next final, which occurred between Sinner and what's the next final? I'm not too sure. Anyway, let's say good morning to Dennis.
Good morning, Dennis.
Taking a while before it's coming. Good morning. I think that's Dennis. I'm not sure, but good morning. Hello. Well, I was saying, Sinner eventually took out Djokovic, who was the favorite for the Australian Open Championship.
I guess he's coming in now.
Yes. Good morning to you.
Okay.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was going to earlier. Are you hearing me?
Yes, we're hearing you.
I'm sorry.
Yes, we're hearing you.
All right, good morning to everyone. Apologies for the little snafu there. I was muted and was unable to find the right button to press. At any rate, I just wanted to bring David up to speed here on the under 19. The under 19, pretty much just two matches remaining, India and United States, to play in that Group A table, and it will be Australia and Sri Lanka to play in that Group C table. But of course, there are 16 teams playing currently, and it's pretty much been settled. The top three from each group will advance to the Super Six stage. And at this moment, right now as we speak, it looks like India, Bangladesh, and Ireland will be the three from Group A, South Africa, England, and the West Indies from Group B, Australia, Sri Lanka, and Zimbabwe from Group C, and Pakistan, New Zealand, and Nepal from Group D. The West Indies did win their second match. They played a total of 3, won 2, and lost 1, and they defeated Scotland quite handsomely in their last match. So
Scotland, Dennis. Scotland was their last match. I thought they had another game. That's why I was searching for that. I did hear the score for that Scotland game.
Right. So this group stage is now completed. So now they're all moving on to the Super Six stage.
Okay.
That's it for me.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis. I wasn't sure on what was going on with West Indies and their second match. I should say their third match. My understanding was like yours, David, that they lost their first match. They won the second against Scotland, but I didn't hear anything about the third. Anyway, let's hope and, you know, that they come through and give us something to move forward. Let me ask you this question. Are Australia in a better position because Shamar Joseph was very impressive in his debut and seemed to be giving the Australian batsmen quite a bit of problems? Are Australia in a better position because Shamar Joseph is injured and can't take any further part in this match?
Yeah, I was trying to find something on that, you know, this morning, Cornell, because I saw they say he has a toe injury. So I was trying to check on that to see. So he's injured.
He's injured.
Okay.
He retired hurt. He's injured. He wouldn't take any further part in the match. And so, but nevertheless, it seems that our, you know, bowling strength is up to the task. And we can, you know, kind of keep our fingers crossed that they will keep bowling well and not give the Australian batsmen an easy time. And even try to win this match.
So, but Cardinal, is not now our bowling has always been putting us on top, you know. It's our batters who
seem to be,
you know, even in our weakened state, our bowlers are still putting us in position to win games, but the batters then just won't come up with the goods, you know, and that's where we need to straighten, to straighten our batting, or have a few good batsmen. But as we see each time, we seem to produce some of the good things. Guess what? They're off to the T20s, and we losing out to them, and we got to go search and find a couple more young men and bring them in. And as I said, by the time they get into the game, seem to be doing well. Because we're going to take Mr. King, for instance. I've been rooting for him to get into that test team. He got selected, but guess what? He has to go play T20, so we lost him. So, and I think the selectors them really should be considering to bring Shea up to play. Those are two batsmen that I think we could use into the test team. This is King and Hope. So
I'm not big on Shea Hope. I am big on Brandon King, and it's unfortunate that he had to make the choice of playing 2020 over a more seasoned form of the game, because I was under the impression that Brandon King was insisting that he wanted to play test cricket.
Yeah.
But the selectors had pigeonholed him, as they do to many of our young players, had pigeonholed him into 2020 and the one deferment. They have also done the same thing to the young man out of St. Martin, Casey Carty, who seems to me settled, you know, obviously a young man who is ready to play test cricket, who wants to play test cricket. But they seem to the selectors seem to have decided to keep him into the shorter form of the game. I just cannot understand that format of selection. And they've been doing that for a period of time now. You know, I mean, they stuck Johnson Charles, if I remember correctly, they stuck Johnson Charles into the 2020 format. Wouldn't it give the young man, you know, a chance to, you know, display himself in the longer format of the game? So I don't know what caused West Indian selectors to be stuck in that mindset, but they are cramping the style of our young batsmen who are passionate about playing test cricket, you know, and we're not coming up with the good. It's obvious that our batting is brittle and has been brittle for a while. But, you know, it seems that there have been a focus on that. You have a young man of like Azari Joseph, for instance, who can be quite a capable batsman. If we have more Azari Joseph into the batsman that he can be, and having batting at number 8, you know, we are well on the way to be rallying for the test championship. So we got some work to do in terms of.
If we use India or Australia, a Pat Cummins, a Jadeja, for them, it's coming down the order making runs. When we were strong, you know, Cardinal, when we were strong, you got to remember a batsman like Callis King and Murray coming down on the back end. They're helping out the team to put some runs on the board so our bowlers can go at them. You know, I don't see why we don't try to develop those bowlers who look capable of making some runs. We don't put some development in them, or they take the pride of
you know, showing their worth, within, let's say, their bowlers, they are capable of making. I'm just looking at him, Shamar Joseph. You know, he surprised them Australian in the first test by getting some runs. And they're like, oh, they were shell-shocked. And you can see it on their face that they were shell-shocked. That this guy coming down, just making his test debut, and it's stroking their ball all over the field. So we got to, you know, if the guys show the potential that they can bat, we need to develop both parts of their game, and not only one side. But, you know, I can say, you know, I have people think that we're going to get team roll over. And, you know, the first thing is if we had just put up a little better fight, we would have, you know, but this time we showed, okay, we can take this game to 5 days. You know, it may not be the result that we wanted, but we're having eight people who are making their debut for the West Indies. So we doesn't have, and the rest who were played haven't played enough technically that you can say they're veterans either. They, you know, otherwise, I'm, you know, a Roach, you know, maybe a Brathwaite, you know, on that team. But, you know, we can say at least in the second test, we did show some fight, and we put up some fight, and we still are in this contest.
Okay. Totally good.
I guess we can just leave it at sport. I know Sunday is where they're going to be, the big week they are going to be, and every week they're going to be duking it out. So we'll let you greet your fans and you know, bring in the rest of the program. So we'll talk again.
Thank you, David.
Next week. Yeah.
Of course. Yes. You can hear more caution as to what's going on with West Indies cricket and the cricket show tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Join them and join the discussion as well. Now, let me step off a bit and greet the many fans, and particularly the special fans, the ones who keep us in line, the ones who let us know where we're doing or where we're not doing. So I'm going to say good morning to the people up in New York. I'm going to Martris, Ina, Donna, Sharon, and Lady Bumpsy Nisbet. And our special prayers go out to Lady Bumpsy Nisbet as she meets her own health challenges, looking forward to getting better beyond the rule again. Morning to you. Hope the weather is great there. At least it is not as great as it should be. You can enjoy whatever is there. Good morning to the people over in St. Martin, particularly to Amma Thompson and my good man Carl. And I wonder what the party is about over there at this time. You know they are, they do that. But whatever it is, hoping that they have a good time. And if they're not doing otherwise, they're enjoying a good time here on the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show. I'm going to go on over to St. Kitts. We're going to say good morning to Lynette. I've not heard Lynette for the morning, but she's right there or there about someplace, and she can tell us what's going on. I've been hearing news about the biggest cruise ship heading to St. Kitts. Wonder what Lynette can tell us about that. Good morning, Lynette. We are drumming and waiting for you to pop in. I'm going to go over to Nevis. So I'm going to say good morning to Mr. Renford Dore and his staff there at the 2020 Vision Radio, particularly to Carmen Lady C. Griffin. I'm also going to say good morning to my classmates for the Charleston Secondary High School class of 1972. They keep talking. They keep communicating with us. And that's a great affair. So good morning of you. I'm going to say good morning to my friend and classmate, Mr. Earl Sargent, over there in the top brown kids behavior. You're joining us this morning and having a great time. I'm going to go on over to the UK where I'm going to say good morning to Omel and Michelle. They're standing by, listening to the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show, as they would always do. And I'd like to compliment them with their share of the Calypso music. They're over there in the UK. They got to travel up to Leeds for the carnival there. I don't know when that is. Never can tell us. But they stay in touch with the culture and want to hear their share of the calypso. We'll try and see if we can do that. I'm going to go step across the channel room. I'm going to say good morning to people in Fort Lauderdale, to Marva Jones, and my favorite celebrity, Tiffany, my brother Malik, and my sister Tanaya. Good morning to you. Say good morning to Elimat, King Elimat, that is. I'm hoping that the brother is making it through this day and looking forward to the art. Good morning to you. I see someone took a little time out to pay some tribute to the gentleman for his contribution to the musical and culture of the Caribbean, particularly showing syncopes in a musical way. I'm going to go on over to the Southwest, where I'm going to say good morning to Mr. Jerome Cutner Richardson. Comes to you that way, by way of Stanley Point. Have a little chat with Cutner here and there, and he's always amusing, always entertaining. Good morning, Cutner. Hoping that you're enjoying this moment with us. I'm going to go on up to Georgia. I'm going to say good morning to Minique and Barbara up there in Georgia. And let's hope that even if it's cold, and David said that the cold comes down from Georgia nowadays in, you know, freezing numbers. But even if it's cold, yeah, we always tell you, we've got sunshine here on the Saturday morning. So, come on in and join us and share our sunshine. I'm going to go over to Melbourne. I'm going to say good morning to my dear sister, Yvonne. And I got to also say my condolences because I'm hearing of the passing of one of her family members. Morning to you, Yvonne. Give me a buzz and let me know how you're making up with this. But enjoy the show. And finally, let me say good morning to Kathleen, who has claimed inspirational hour as her own. Happy day. That said, let me say good morning to all fans, friends, and supporters of the Saturday Morning Team Show. That's right. Now, we're getting into that section of the gathering. In addition to greeting us, we're also going to offer you some greetings for those who are celebrating today, whatever they're celebrating, and remark on certain historical. This segment comes to you with the compliment of Mr. Ugly Watson. So, the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show for today, January 27th, getting close to the end of the first month of the year, January. I hope you're going to get in all your Happy New Years before the month runs out in the next 4 days. That's when you start saying Happy New Year, isn't it? Yeah. It's not new anymore. It's 1 month old, not 1 month new. But so, for today, January 27th, here are the birthdays, anniversaries, and historical notes. Out of the West Indies, Milton Paidana, out of Guyana. Out of New Zealand, Daniel Vittori. Shane Thompson, out of England. George Poe, and Dean Headley. Dean Headley is the grandson of the great Richard, what's his name? George Headley. The son of the great George Headley, a noted West Indian batsman, was called Atlas. Out of Uganda, Fred Akim. Out of Sri Lanka, Shamendra Vas. Out of Bulgaria, Hussein Yusuf. Out of Nepal, Musam Dakal. Out of USA, Daniel Asif Ahmed. Out of Malta, Bakram Arora. Out of South Africa, Charles Newton Frank. Out of Croatia, Jeffrey Grismek. Out of In 1892, between 1892 and 1898, Edward Smith, an English naval captain of the U.S. Titanic, John Witherspoon, American actor. Today is his birthday. German emperor between 1850 and 1912. Singer-songwriter Javan is Latin. Singer-songwriter Javan is 75. John Roberts, the 17th Chief Justice of the United States, his birthday is today. He's 69. Actress Minnie Rogers, 68. Jack Haley, NBA center for the Chicago Bulls, he's 60. Woody Austin, American golfer, who has four PGA titles, is 60. Alan Cumming, Scottish actor, is 59. Country singer Tracy Lawrence is 56. Rosamund Pike, British actress, is 45. In 1591, Scottish schoolmaster Dr. John Thean was born for witchcraft at Castle Hill in Edinburgh by order of King James VI, as part of the Berwick witch trial. In 1820, Russian Antarctic expedition led by Fabian Gottlieb von Bellingshausen and Mikhail Lazarev discovered the continent of Antarctica. In 1825, the U.S. Congress approved Indian Territory, presently Oklahoma, clearing the way for the forced relocation of east of Indian tribes via what was called the Trail of Tears. The forced relocation of indigenous people from Oklahoma to make way for white control. Thomas Edison, in 1880, Thomas Edison patents the electric incandescent lamp. And there's still some question about how much Edison had to do with that. Rather, he was the master of the game. In 1894, the first college basketball game under the University of Chicago beat Chicago YMCA 19-11. In 1914, a petition is written and submitted by the black and colored women of the Orange Free State, an independent Boer sovereign republic in South Africa, against the carrying of passes by women. In 1980, Tarzan of the Apes, the first Tarzan film, premieres at Broadway Theater in New York. In 1924, Klaus Sundberg of Finland claims 3 gold medals in one day when he wins 1500 meters all-around speed skating events at the Chamonix Winter Olympics. Won the 5000 meters the day before. In 1941, Peruvian ambassador Ricardo Rivera Schreiber won American ambassador of Japanese assault on Pearl Harbor. In 1944, the siege of Leningrad was lifted by the Soviets after 880 days and more than 2 million Russians were killed. In 1945, Soviet troops liberate Auschwitz and Birkenau concentration camps in Poland, now commemorated as International Holocaust Remembrance Day. In 1948, the first tape recorder was sold. In 1965, the first ground station to aircraft radio communication via satellite. In 1967, a fire at the Apollo 1 command module killed astronauts Josh Wilson, Ed White, and Roger B. Chaffee during a launch rehearsal. In 1972, Mahalia Jackson, an American gospel singer, died of a heart failure at the age of 60. In 1973, William Norley, American Army officer, last U.S. soldier killed during the Vietnam War at 43. In 1976, Sir Richard scored his first test century against Australia. In 1980, Robert Mugabe returns to Rhodesia, what is now Zimbabwe, after 5 years in exile. And you will know that he later became the president. In 1983, Faken Tunnel, the world's longest tunnel with an underwater segment, is opening, connecting Honshu, Hokkaido. The tunnel remains the longest underwater tunnel. In 1993, French pro wrestler, world heavyweight champion Andre the Giant died of congestive heart failure at the age of 49. In 2022, U.S. President Joe Biden pledges to nominate a black woman to the Supreme Court. He did that, he did. But she said, can't define who is a woman because she's not a biologist.
Oh,
that comes into it. Okay, those are your birthdays, anniversaries, and historical notes for today, January 27th, 2020. Yeah, we are there already, 2024. Hey, who knows that is. Anyway, let's cool things down a bit.
I see the questions in your eyes. I know what's weighing on your mind. You can be sure I know my heart. Cause I stand beside you through the years. You'll only cry those happy tears. And though I may mistake, I'll never break your heart. And I swear by the moon and the stars and the sky, I'll be there. Like a shadow that's by your side, I'll be there. For better or worse, till death do us part, I love you with every beat of my heart. And I build your dreams with these two hands. We'll hang the memories on the wall. And when just the two of us are there, you won't have to ask if I still care. Cause as the time turns the page,
tell me where the nearest 7-Eleven is.
Good morning. We have Lynette with us this afternoon. Good morning. Good morning, Lynette.
Hello, good morning. Good morning, everybody. How is everybody doing?
So what's happening in St. Kitts?
Ah,
well,
maybe
so far, so good.
Quiet. Be quiet. Nice and sunny, but very windy. So the place is nice and cool.
Oh.
Yeah.
Same kind of weather condition here. A little overcast. Oh,
yeah.
I should say a lot of overcast. Not rainy yet, but it's nice and cool.
Yeah. Nice sunny. It's not overcast. Earlier it was overcast, but now it's really bright and sunny, but not hot because we have that stiff breeze. So.
Okay.
But everything else is good.
So I understand you're looking forward for the birth of the largest, now the largest cruise ship in the world. I cannot even.
Yes, the Icon
is
going to be making its first stop in St. Kitts on Tuesday.
But I'm also hearing some other kind of news. The tourists who are stepping off the ship in St. Kitts are being told not to take more money and St. Kitts is given a bad account. Have you heard about that?
I saw the video where a tourist was given that information to a taxi driver. I saw that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So has that information been, you know,
well, I'm sure because it was on social media. It was on social media.
Okay. Now, I'm wondering I'm wondering what would be the response of the tourism authorities and the people of St. Kitts. How are they responding to that? Are they talking about it?
I don't know. I didn't get any feedback. Since I saw it on social media, I did not get any feedback, so I don't know.
Well, the people
have some problem with the young people, you know, shooting each other and nonsense like that, but in terms of being frightened to be here, no, it's not like that.
Okay. I was just wondering how the people in St. Kitts were responding to that kind of publicity. I can call it that because it has been transmitted around the world. And
yes.
What are they saying? I mean, are people in the stores? Are people on the streets talking about it? What is it?
Well, I'll tell you, we don't see, like, I've been there a lot of years, over 25 years, and the traffic, the walking traffic from the boat has diminished tremendously.
Uh-huh.
They're mostly coming off and going on excursions, and most of the excursions are booked with the ship. So when they come off the ship, they know exactly what they're doing. You know, they're going on the train and the safaris and catamarans and stuff like that. So
in terms of them walking, it's not like before.
Yes, you see a couple of them walking along the Bay Road and up to the Center Top and stuff like that. But in terms of being in town and hanging out and the restaurants and stuff like that, you don't see them like that, like before.
Okay. I understand. Would this have anything to do with how St. Kitts is being projected on the cruise ships, or would it seem that the restaurants and the places that should invite the tourists do not seem to have their doors open with a welcoming gesture?
From that video, I mean, she said she was told that, so.
Okay.
But that's not good. But all in all, I think it is safe to come. I just want to invite everybody to come. We're safe. We just had Carnival, and we had over 12,000 visitors for the carnival,
mm-hmm.
and everything went well.
Okay.
There was absolutely no incidents reported. So I don't know why I don't know if it's that particular boat or if it's that she came on, or if it's all the boats.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw the video where this tourist was telling the taxi driver that.
Okay. Well, we really do not need that kind of publicity, to be honest.
Of course not. Of course not.
And
of course
so,
not, we don't.
You know, when the tourists come, you know, we would like to, them to have a good time, spend some money so that we can have some kind of, you know, since we are stuck with that economic system, we would have some investment to go around in terms
yeah.
of, you know, the distribution of resources and people can have work and things like that. Okay.
But that is not, right now we have two ships in port.
You have what?
We have two ships in port. Yesterday we had two, today we have
okay.
two.
Well, the thing is that it's not to have ships in port, but it's whether or not the people who come on these ships feel welcome in Trinket and feel like that they can go about and do their business in Trinket rather freely, and they feel welcome, they feel invited. That's what tourism is about, so that you will encourage them to spend some money and leave some of it there. Now, I don't know. We used to think that we see people come and cruise ships, they're wealthy. That's not, you know, totally the truth. But, you know, with a dollar being spent there and a dollar being spent someplace else, somebody can benefit from the arrival of the cruise ship. We know that over the years, you know, places like St. Thomas and St. Martin prided themselves on having, you know, thrived on the tourist industry. And because of that, a lot of other Caribbean islands felt they could have done the same thing. It did not work out so well with a lot of them, but, you know, they're still persisting and having, you know, tourist excursions. But, you know, I don't know. I'm not the expert in the area, but hopefully it would work out, because what people want to do is to acquire resources from which they can cultivate some kind of respectable quality of life. Okay, as the tourists come, they meet our culture. And we're going to talk about something with the mighty arrow, I should say, out of Montserrat. What the tourists can get when they come. They're going to get
they say it ain't right, grammatically they can't find them words in no dictionary. Calling it bad language, despising we heritage. But don't care if they call we foolish, this is Montserrat English. Emily, why you are yet there?
That's not what we just said.
They come up and I'm gimme.
That's the Montserrat language.
Come on, sister, fetch me the pole. 1 p.m. and me belly up so. This is Montserrat culture. We'll be proud of it forever.
This is Montserrat culture. We'll be proud of it forever.
What's the use pretending when this language deep within? Me neighbor went New York City, come back trying to talk like Yankee. Saint people talking too bad, this thing is driving me mad. But after 2 weeks back in the land, yeah, she cussing, she man. Me say you nah come back in ya.
That's how what the girl say.
Go out to ya, you will on you.
Daddy has to pray you.
You give me sudden where you say can happen. And you know how me pray the injection. This is Montserrat culture, we'll be proud of.
of it forever.
This is Mantra Kaltya, we'll be proud of it forever.
Body language and treating people just like garbage. They will tell you about backyard and how for you face so hard, but they would die before they declare, I am me born, I am me rare. Stop, took you hand, I'm me eye man.
That is straight on Russia.
I you look upon me walk ya.
That's the month on the way.
Happy show up, hear what happened. You'll never hear that from no Jamaican. This is Mantra culture, we'll be proud of it forever.
This is Mantra culture, we'll be proud of it forever.
English grammar you can't neglect, but hold on to it dialect. Is we ancestors give it to us, so accept it back and stop making fuss. I am making a strong appeal, regardless what them big shots feel. Use this language more and more, be proud of your own culture. Mommy, oh, wami, I hear ya. You know that means surprise. Move from day to story, that means you're telling lies. When me see you, Michigan, every lead drop, every back home down. This is Mantra culture, we'll be proud of it forever.
This is Mantra culture, we'll be proud of it forever.
I'm seeming to have a little mix up here with Arrow, demanding that we lend respect to the way we speak here in the Caribbean, as specifically relates to Mantra. And we all can identify with that kind of vernacular. Anyway, let me make a comment here. January 26th, which would have been yesterday, Australia celebrated its national holiday on January 26th every year. And we call it Australia Day. Now this year, there has been a number of protests over the celebration of Australia Day, because the date on which it is celebrated coincides with the day. Coincides with the date that the first European explorers reached Australia, and that was back in 1778. They showed up in Sydney Harbour. Now, the celebration of Australia Day is similar to the celebration of Columbus Day in the Americas and the Caribbean. Therefore, the indigenous peoples of Australia don't see a reason to celebrate, because the arrival of the British is synonymous with the beginning of a campaign of genocide against the indigenous people. This year, the protesters damaged monumental statues of British explorer James Cook and of Queen Victoria. And they are demanding that these statues be taken down completely. Now, we've heard a lot of stuff about slavery and the dehumanization of people, But he didn't pay a lot of attention to what's happening to the indigenous Australians and the indigenous New Zealanders, called the Maori people and other groups of people out of that area of the world. But they had to deal with the same form of disrespect and contempt that we have had to deal with on this side of the Atlantic, as African people in particular, as the indigenous peoples of North America in particular, as the indigenous peoples of South America and the Caribbean. They have had to deal with the same thing, and they have continued to deal with it, having to negotiate or navigate a social environment that incorporates the mechanics of their dehumanity. And that is what we have in common. One of the things that we have in common with the indigenous Australians, and that comes out of their encounter with the Europeans. Now, when people think of Australia, they think of a country of white people. They don't think of the indigenous people. They don't think of the aborigines. And that's because Australia has been fronted by the fact that it was colonized by the British, in disregard to the human identity of the indigenous Australians. You know, we all can identify with that, because it has happened in our presence all over the world. Let me give you an example. The first group of people to create or to organize an international cricket tour were the indigenous peoples of Australia making a tour to England. That was before the first so-called organized international cricket by the ICC. Now, the indigenous Australian was said to be skillful cricketers, but they were used by the various, and they call counties, the regional teams like New South Wales and Victoria, they were used by these counties to win matches. So they would invite the indigenous cricketers in. New South Wales would bring some of them in, and they weren't paid. New South Wales would bring some of them in. Victoria would bring some of them in order to try to win championships. But when the team was picked, they were not selected. And they were often, even on the cricket field, they were often treated with disrespect and contempt. But this is one of the things that the Australian Cricket Association did. If these indigenous people were on the field, and let's say they were dissatisfied with the decisions of an umpire, they were considered to be mentally ill. And sometimes they were forced to leave the cricket arena and be held in mental institutions where nothing was wrong with them. So the experience of the indigenous people of Australia is often hidden from view. So for all the years that Australia has been involved in international cricket, there are only two Aborigines who have ever made it to the Australian team. The first of them was Jason Gillespie. Those of you who follow cricket well enough will remember Jason Gillespie. And the second is one who is on the current Australian team, or not team, but is currently up and being selected, is Boland. And those are the only two indigenous peoples who have represented Australia in cricket. Now, the current Australian cricket captain, Pat Cummins, chipped in to say that they should continue the celebration of Australia Day, but change the date so that it does not coincide with the arrival of the European settlers. Many people have taken this view, but I want to inquire, is this an approach that solves the problem, or is it just a band-aid on an open sore? What do you think? Should Australia Day not be celebrated as the Indigenous people are demanding? Should the monuments to the people who supervised, I should say, presided over the assault on the Australian people, this offensive against the Australian people, should those monuments be taken down? And what of the change to recognize the culture of the Indigenous peoples of Australia become the culture that fronts the Australian identity? It's a problem. What do you think? Chip in with your thoughts. Anyone can come in. Any takers? In the meantime, let's take a look at some of these songs of protest.
Look more jokes. Yeah, we're the people of the world.
Yes, that's the late great political messenger Robert Nesta Marley putting us on notice of all the troubles we've got in this world. There's somebody who says it another way and question why the humble and powerless people have to deal with all this trouble. Let's take a hit from Bonnie Weaver.
Cardinal? Hello, Cardinal.
Come on in, Dennis. I'm hearing you.
Oh, yes. It's interesting. Your commentary this morning is interesting regarding the Australia Day. If you recall, and I'm sure you will recall, that not so long ago, was it a year ago, was it 2 years ago, that the uproar regarding the slavers and those statues were being dumped in the rivers and sea in Bristol, England, of those people
right.
who were partly responsible or fully responsible for some of the shameful things of the slave trade. And I know, of course, also even here in the United States, there were talk recently of the shame of Columbus Day and the so-called significance and celebrating the type of, celebration that took place around that old issue of Columbus Day. And even here in the West Indies, West Indian Islands, there's also been talk about the so-called discovery of islands by Columbus, and we know darn well that it hasn't gone down very well in our history of today. But, you know, the sad part of it, of course, is that history is now being rewritten and revised, starting right here in the United States, where we're looking at the complete denial or the sugarcoating of slavery and the atrociousness that was committed to a certain segment of our population, of our people, mainly black people, of course, by a group of, you know, rich folks. The question is, with history being rewritten and celebrated, the rewritten version of history is being celebrated in many states here in the United, you know, in the United States, and in particular Florida being the leader of this band of revisionists. The question is, what is the response coming from, what we'd consider responsible citizens? Where is the response from those responsible citizens? Why is the federal government not involved with trying to countermand or getting the real facts and opinion out there to people? Why should school children in the United States be denied true history? History should never be written in terms of I'm writing it this way because I feel that I have been shamed into showing the real truth. So I think it is time that we call on the federal government to get involved in curriculums as far as the teaching of history is concerned here in the United States. And let's teach history from the actual true perspective of what happened, how it happened, when it happened, why it happened, where it happened, and so on and so forth. To be told that slaves benefited from slavery is nothing but sheer, well, I'll just use the word fiddlesticks and leave it at that. And I think it's really and truly the time for our federal government to get involved in looking at what's happening with history being rewritten and revised here in the United States, even here in the state where I live. There are certain segments where they're talking about banning CRT and things of that nature. But CRT really and truly is not a topic that is being taught, even in the high school level, but it's just a matter of, it's a historical perspective. Well, perhaps not just a perspective, but a historical statement of what truly happened. And for people to get so upset because they are ashamed of what transpired, and they're so ashamed they are going to resort to banning it completely and making a political statement out of it. This is not good enough in 2024 here in the United States. Cardinal, that's my comment on your topic this morning, and I send it back to you.
Thank you, Dennis. I wonder if anybody else want to make a comment. But let me say this. There's an African proverb that says, until the lion writes his own history, the tales of the hunt always celebrate the triumph of the hunter. We should not and cannot expect the federal government to get involved with demanding that an accurate representation of history be presented in the school. First of all, they're going to say, well, that is a state responsibility, not ours. That's the first thing they're going to say. Second thing is that, and this is the most important, is that the administrators of the federal government want that history to be told the same way that Randy Sanchez wants to tell it, and others. So they're not going to do anything about it on that score either, because it preserves the myth. The way history is being told now preserves the myth, superiority. And so we should not expect the federal government or any group of administrators in any society that's based on Western socioculture to require a true version of historical events as they happen. So that means what? We, who are the incidents of that history, we are who are the creators of that history, we've got to write it. And guess what? It has already been written. Okay? It has already been written. So we have to decide that we're going to put it into our schools so our children can get the benefit of that history. Do not rely on Congress. Do not rely on the president. Do not rely on anything else except us. And unless we do that, unless we get that history to us, it's not unwritten. But look at us, right here in the Caribbean, where we call ourselves independent states, you're still finding history books which record or present this information from a European perspective, that Columbus discovered this, that the arrival of the Europeans was the arrival of what you call it, civilization. We still have that right here in the Caribbean. So even though our history has been recorded more accurately, we are still afraid to put that history into our curriculum. So, hey, the hunters tell the story, and they tell it to make themselves look like champions. They tell the story to celebrate themselves.
But Cardinal, the state, you know, you said it becomes a state responsibility being the answer. But you can't rely on self, as you suggested, because the self in these states are not able to come to the table, or they're not allowed to come to the table, because you have gerrymandering of boundaries which deny and suppress votes, so that those who may, the self, who may want to teach these true versions of history, is being swamped out or swept under the carpet because of the unfair, not just unfair, but must be a stronger adjective to describe what is taking place. Federal government has to have some responsibility in putting forward the curriculum that shows what exactly is the true facts. The federal government should be doing a lot more to prevent gerrymandering of boundaries, suppression of votes. But I hear a lot of talk from one or two people in the federal system, but not enough is being done. We know quite openly, quite brazenly, suppression of vote takes place, and yet we seemingly do absolutely nothing about it. And it's time we do need to have call upon our federal government as voters, you know, minority voters, to shame the federal government. It should be more than shame. It should be a responsibility of the federal government to ensure that our people are not being gerrymandered or denied the right to vote. It's crazy to think that in 2024, you can punish someone for giving a drink of water to a voter waiting in line. It is so totally absurd and ridiculous that here, this is a situation where federal government need to take responsibility for outlawing, removing those kind of, you know, craziness. Back to you, Cardinal.
Thank you, Dennis, but I'm going to say this again. The federal government has always found a way to say that it's not its responsibility to protect the vulnerable citizens of this country called the United States. Like I indicated before, they're going to say, well, that's not our business. That is the business. Framing curriculum is not our business. That is the business of the state. They're going to say that. Why? Because the members of the federal government want it that way. They always have wanted it that way. So they're not going to see a wrong that they can set right. The thing is that, the other thing is that our political power, our power, I should say, does not lie in the political or institutions of the United States. Our power, whether for politics or economics or education or whatever, our power lies in our communion. And if we fail to mobilize that communion, then those who have taken advantage of the opportunity to exploit us, to treat us with disrespect, to treat us with indignity, will continue to exploit those opportunities. So we can expect a federal government that is, do not want to be affected, the members of which do not want to be affected by a true version of history. We can't expect them to allow that true version to exist. That true version of history is in, to our benefit. So we have got to create that, to mobilize that communion to ensure that a proper curriculum of that history is placed at the disposal of our students. Is not going to happen any other way. And I would bet my last dollar on that. If no further comments, Dennis, then I'll just move on. I'm going to play some calypso. I'm going to play calypso for the benefit of Umel and Michelle. Here's Byron Lee.
I need a woman by my side.
selection. Email and Michelle over in the UK wants to stay in touch with music of the Caribbean culture. It's now about 5 minutes to closing time, so I'm going to call upon my fellow panelists to say their goodbyes. How about you, Lynette? Come on in, say your goodbye. Okay, Lynette is not available. How about you, Dennis?
Hello, good. Hello, hi.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Well, I listened to the show from the beginning, but I have visitors, so I couldn't come on until it was good to come on. I listened to the gospel inspirational section. Very good, Cardinal. We plus. Anyway, I enjoyed the show. I missed some of it because I had to go out and come back, but all in all, I think you did a good job. I want to wish everybody a good week coming up. I hope it stays cool and nice as it is. Okay.
Thank you, Lynette. Dennis, come on in. See you. Goodbye.
Thank you, Cardinal. I'm inviting our fellow panelists and listeners to join Leon Francis, host of the cricket show tomorrow, Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern time, where the cricket show will have a usual slate of items to discuss. And you know, I have to tell you, come in early and stay late, because there are a lot of topics that we very often don't even get to cover because the popularity of earlier topic. But we apologize for that. But that is the cricket show, and that is the passion that we bring on a Sunday at www.blogtalkradio.com/thecricketshow. It's 6 p.m. Eastern time zone. Call us at 1-515-605-9850. 1-515-605-9850 to join in and share your points of view. Talk to us about the Cricket World Cup. Can the West Indies under 19 repeat? Can they win? What about the test match? What's going on down there in Australia? Is it right that some of our boys should decide that they should go in search of riches? And, you know, I mean, they have to live too. But anyway, join us tomorrow for all the excitement. The cricket show, 6 p.m. Eastern. Back to you, Cardinal.
Thanks, Dennis. Ivor is online. I'm not sure if he's in a position to say his goodbyes, but if you are in, Ivor,
Ali couldn't speak for me. Ali couldn't speak for me. He's on my
own.
No. I didn't hear the show. I just came on.
Yeah, I think we're not the
Okay. Partner, you're coming on late. Okay.
Yeah. I came on 2 minutes to 12. 3 minutes to 12.
Okay. Well, it's just good to hear that Cardinal is there, so that's good.
May I add one other point? I haven't heard Donna this morning. I hope she's well, but we're looking forward to hearing Donna tomorrow on the cricket show. Donna will be a presenter of our Focus on the Laws of Cricket tomorrow. So I hope you're well, Donna. Take care and look forward to hearing you and seeing you on the radio tomorrow. Thank you, Cardinal.
She was in and listening earlier. I'm not sure she's still there. If she is, she can pop her voice in and let us know that she is doing okay. Come on in, Dan, if you are listening. If not. Well, I would like to say my thanks to all the fans, friends, and supporters who joined me this morning, and the recipients of what was prepared for the Saturday morning entertainment show. I'm sure hope we have fulfilled our objective, and you know, whatever you can extract from it, whatever it is that you came to look for, we can make it better if we can. And if you join us and let us know how well are you doing as our special friends do. So, that said, I'm going to head on out now and hope that I'll see you here again next week. Here is a little bit more action from Crossfire. We'll head on out with Crossfire. It's a good way.
Oh gosh, I'm Mr. A. The pressing up of the gear of flexing. I'm Mr. A.
Run the gun, 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 run the
dance our way out of the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show for today, 27th January 2024. Hope that we brought you exactly what you've been looking for. And so, we'll do it again next week. Until then, have a great week. So long.